prepared for a pandemic. Let's bring in our guest, Dr. Celine Gounder, who is an infectious disease specialist, epidemiologist, and the host of the Epidemic and American Diagnosis podcast. Dr. Gounder, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely. Did I read it? Are you a Husky?
Yeah, I went to med school at UW in the early
2000s. Oh, awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said that the U.S. only has 1% of the required respirator mask we need if the COVID-19 outbreak were to erupt into a pandemic. Doctor, is this a pandemic?
So I would say yes, this is a pandemic, but I would also emphasize pandemic does not mean panic. Pandemic means you need policies, procedures, protocols, and you need to practice on each of those things. And here's how you decide if it's a pandemic. So this is, the coronavirus is a novel virus that humans have not been exposed to before. They do not have pre-existing immunity to this virus. The virus is spreading rapidly across different countries, different continents. We're seeing it in pretty much every continent now except for Antarctica. And we're now also seeing community spread, so not just travel-related spread in many communities. So by definition, that means this is a pandemic.
A hospital in Oregon, they have quarantined dozens of staff after coming in contact with infectious patients. We're not seeing healthcare workers quarantined here, with the exception of what's going on in Kirkland at the Life Care Center. Are hospitals, in your opinion, prepared to deal with a pandemic?
Well, I think there's a lot of variability. There are hospitals that have what are called special pathogens units. So that includes hospitals like Mass General, Cedars-Sinai, Providence in the Seattle area, I believe, is one of them. Bellevue in New York City. There's about 10 of them across the country. So those hospitals, yes, they are. They really are prepared for that sort of thing, and these special centers were established after the Ebola outbreak. Now, your local community hospital, I think there's a wide range. I think most of them do have the necessary personal protective equipment necessary, although I'm starting to hear about some hospitals that are running into shortages. But I do think, we really need to think carefully about how can we make sure we're protecting our healthcare workers, because otherwise it could result in big disruptions to our ability to care for patients, and not just patients with coronavirus, but just in general care for patients. Mm.
Dr. Gounder, can we talk about kids for a second? Because we're hearing about school closures around our area, and I know there are some parents listening that have petitioned to have schools shut down. I have a two-part question, but let's start with the first one. How does this virus affect children?
Yes, I want to be very clear. The reason to close schools is actually not to protect the kids. The kids are not the ones at risk. The kids can get infected, but we have not seen severe illness and death from coronavirus among kids. The reason to close schools is to protect the adults. So, kids bringing coronavirus home to their maybe mom who recently had breast cancer and has had chemotherapy, or grandpa who is older, in his 80s. That's why you close the schools. I think we need to think carefully about maybe having some hybrid options. Maybe for in some instances, you don't fully close the schools. You allow whoever wants to come in to come in, and then maybe offer some remote options for kids who want to stay home, whose parents can have them stay home, and maybe doing, a web-based or remote kind of teaching. But for a lot of kids, it's really tough to stay home. A lot of lower-income families rely on school lunches and reduced cost lunches. A lot of parents rely on school for childcare, and it's really difficult to say, gosh, we're just going to shut down the schools for this. So, I think providing options, and if you are going to shut down the schools completely, helping those parents and families with the added burden that's going to create, that's really important.
And then the reason we hear that they want to shut down schools is because They look at this study. There was a big study in 2014 about the Ebola epidemic in Western Africa, and they found that when you shut down schools, kids go out. They go to the malls. They get mm-hmm. in public. We heard this from press conferences this week. I just don't think our kids do that. I think we read all the time about how our kids are sitting at home and on their smartphones and their tablets. You are a specialist in this area. Can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, I think things have changed over the last decade or so culturally, where, I don't know, when I was growing up, yeah, you'd hang out at the mall with your friends. But, you know, that's sort of like 1980s classic TV culture, right? You know, what you would, the Breakfast Club, and, you know, everybody would hang out at the mall. But that is not necessarily the case the way it was before. You're right. You know, kids are spending less time face to face, more time on tablets and computers. So I think that would be to a lesser degree. But again, you know, I think the problem with closing schools, in addition to just making sure kids stay at home, is how do you make sure that especially lower income families aren't hit overly hard with these kinds of measures, and that, you know, in terms of nutrition, these kids are still getting the food that they would otherwise be getting at school. In terms of childcare, what do you do for parents who are working by the hour, you know, on a wage job and can't stay home with their kids? You know, that's a major challenge.
That is the voice of Dr. Celine Gounder. She joins the show right now. She is an infectious disease specialist and epidemiologist and host of the Epidemic in American Diagnosis podcast. I want to talk and switch gears to transmission for a minute, Doctor. And some of the talk has been talked about. We brought up quarantines and everything. In your opinion, should there be larger scale quarantines happening here in the state of Washington, or should there be travel restrictions happening here right now?
So I think it's important to step back and just remind people what a quarantine is, what isolation is. So okay. Isolation is once somebody has been diagnosed with the disease, that we're isolating that person until they're no longer infectious. Quarantine is where you have people who may have been exposed, may have been infected, but we're not sure. And so you're keeping them apart from the rest of the population until you can sort of settle that out. So do we need isolation of patients? Absolutely. Do we need quarantine of people who've been exposed? For example, the staff at the nursing home in Kirkland, yes, that's appropriate. Do you need to be doing Wuhan-style quarantines of the entire Seattle area? I just don't think that's scientifically supported, and I honestly just don't think that would make much of a difference at this point. In part because you're already seeing some community spread in the area.
So this is going to be with us now. This virus is now out there. I don't think you can put mm-hmm. the genie back in the bottle, and it's going to be another year to year and a half, they say, before we get a vaccine for this. What do we do until that vaccine comes out? Are we to sort of maintain the protocol that we're sort of beginning to engage with now?
I think what we want to do is try to slow the spread of the infection, because if you see a huge spike of cases all at once, that's really going to overwhelm the health system. You know, we've seen the images from Wuhan, for example, and that makes for a very dangerous situation in hospitals for a number of reasons. One, it's much more difficult in that setting to get a handle on infection control to prevent spread within the facility. And if you see a huge spike in cases like that, it means that you're going to have that much more difficulty handling routine medical care. So let's say you come in with a stroke. If the hospital is overwhelmed with coronavirus cases, you may not get care for that stroke in as timely a fashion as if they're not swamped with such cases. So do I anticipate this is going to spread through a big proportion of the population? Yes, but we want to slow that down so that it doesn't hit the healthcare system all at once, so we can handle it, and also so we have a little bit more time to prepare. So, you know, I don't think we can hold this off until we have a vaccine in 18 months or so, but I think we can slow it down so we can handle it better.
Doctor, I got 10 seconds. I got 10 seconds. When you said big, you think it's going to get much bigger than it is right now?
Oh, I think it's, yeah, I think it's going to spread through a big proportion of the population, you know, a significant proportion of the population.
That's Dr. Celine Gounder. Really appreciate you joining the show. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. It is the G. and Ursula Show. Coming up next, we do scenarios.